Hey, welcome back, everybody. Episode 2, here we go. Before I actually get started, I want to just say a huge, huge thank you to everybody who listened to the podcast, and also for everybody that shared in their stories. And I got quite a few DMs, too, about people's, their liking the show. And I really, really appreciate that. The number of downloads for this first episode was just absolutely crazy. I mean, I did not expect that at all. And I just want to thank you all so much. I know Jen is also very thankful for all the shares, likes, and listens. And so I want to give a shout out to those who shared it in their stories and also who sent me some DMs. Blossom Trek, Seattle Fozzie, HTX Trek. And as I'm going through this, if I pronounce something wrong, I'm sorry. So, Chaotic Blue Boo, Sub Wisconsibly, Dad Diaz 5, Wraith Trek, Vitamin B3, Electrek, Judy the Subi, 4x4 Subi, Chunky Roo, DXC Trek, QB Subi, Off Kilter Racing, Hoth Trek, Uli X Trek, Subi Autumn, D. Subi, Out There Trekking, Khaki Cross Trek, Wandering Littlefoot, Nevada XV, Carolina Overlander, one of my friends, Wendy, way out in the UK, Jen, who was on the first podcast, and of course, Ninja Outback, who is my guest on this episode. I also wanted to read a few comments that people left, just to share those, because I was completely blown away by the response to this first episode and, you know, everybody liking it so much. So so here's a few of the comments that I got in DMs. That was a fantastic listen. Thank you so much for creating it. Good listen. I like that you want to use it as a tool for beginners to get started. I'm that guy. Well, I'm that guy, too, because I'm pretty new to this community, so this is going to be great for my journey. Okay, so this podcast is dope. Would love to be a part of it. I'll be tuning into every new episode for sure. I enjoyed hearing your stories. I'm so excited and happy for you and very proud of you. Okay, that one was for my girlfriend, and her support in this new venture means the world to me, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be where I am without her. So she has just been awesome in this whole journey of mine, and I couldn't thank her more. Then another one was, this first episode was awesome. I really enjoyed it. All the production value, sound quality was perfect. Sounded as professional as many podcasts I listen to. That really means a lot to me because, you know, I'm just a guy doing this in his closet, to be honest with you. And I feel like, I guess, I got some of the right equipment. And I just want to put on a good show for everybody. And I want you all to be excited about coming on and being a part of this, too, because this is your podcast. I'm just a place for you to share your story. So there you have it. There were a few more comments, but I don't want to take up too much time. So let's go ahead and get into the conversation with Ninja Outback and find out what else she's doing, because it sounds pretty cool. And I really want to hear more about that as well. So here we go. So what all have you been up to this weekend? I know you said you were installing the rack, but what else have you been up to?
Well, watch the Seahawks lose. Yeah. Very sad. All the California peeps out there, yeah, the Rams beat us in an upset. So that was a little bit hard. But just kind of relaxing, really. One of the first weekends I'm not on the trails, so it's kind of nice to just be doing something other than driving for a little bit, just to give my car a little update.
Yeah, that's good. Updates are good.
For sure.
Yeah. So,
Oh, yeah.
It's, I definitely enjoy owning a Subaru. Went out and did a little mudding today, this morning. And then I did some again, took my brother. So, yeah, so we went mudding, I went mudding this morning and then took my brother with me so he could kind of experience that. And that was a lot of fun. And so it's nice that like it's very limited around here of where I can go off-roading, especially being in Houston. There aren't really any trails. I just got lucky that there's a spot behind my daughter, the school that my daughter used to go to. And there's some like baseball fields. And I remember that spot being back there. And there was like a bunch of people would drive back there to get to the baseball fields, I guess. And sometimes the gates are open and sometimes they're closed, and they were open today. So I were actually open last night too. I went there last night. It's kind of scary because I can't really see that well. So, but you know, it was fun. When did you buy your Outback, and what is it that influenced your decision to buy a Subaru, and why an Outback?
Yeah, so I bought my car in the summer, late summer or early fall of 2018. No, it's already 2021. Oh my gosh. So I bought my car in the summer of 2019. Mm-hmm. And I used to drive a Honda, little Honda Insight, second gen.
Is that the hybrid?
Partial.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a hybrid. It's like it was Honda's competitor to the Prius, but obviously they stopped production after like 2 years because it was just not selling. So it wasn't too cool. It was really slow, surprisingly. But yeah, so essentially when I got that car, my mom actually was looking at two types of cars, the HRV and the Crosstrek, because it's a subcompact vehicle, that can sits a little bit higher off the ground and can go places. And so she ended up going with the Crosstrek, which as a lot of people know who probably listen to this podcast, Crosstreks are the car to have. They're really cool. Short wheelbase, great for adventuring, can fit a person comfortably and can do things. So I fell in love with her car. Every time I'd go out, I'd be like, Mom, I'm taking your car. Sorry, mine's going to sit here. and so I got my first job, full-time job, working at a Boys and Girls Club. And I was like, Mom, by the way, when I get my first full-time job, like I'm buying my own car. Because this one's coming up on 100K. Not that that's bad, but you know, coming down to see you, it gets pretty windy and it's really light. So I get pushed around and it's just not as safe as I think it should be. I started looking, and I know that there are certain things down the line where I'm going to want probably a bigger car. And so I didn't look at a Crosstrek. I looked at an Outback because that was kind of the next step in what I was looking for. Of course, there is the Forester from Subaru, but I just don't love the style of it. I think I like the wagon style more because they're definitely different, but I knew that I wanted to have enough space to go car camping, enough space to have dogs, enough space to pack all my stuff. Because when I go places, I pack probably more than the average person. I come with like 20 pairs of shoes for like a weekend. And I, you know, it's kind of like that where I'm like, I just have bags on bags of stuff. So with that, you know, I was like, the Outback is for me. The Crosstrek is too small. I've driven my mom's and I just don't like the vibe of the Forester. So Outback it was. And there's a nice CPO one, which is certified pre-owned. People say that that's like a way for dealerships to make more money off of the bring-in, because essentially they can have it. I believe they extra check it out and they give you an extra warranty on top of that for just a little bit longer. But you know, with it being my first car, real car, I believe, you know, I wanted to make sure that it was something that I can trust, and I couldn't obviously purchase a new car. Mm-hmm. Cause that was just out of my budget, especially in Outback now that they're going for like 40K.
Oh, I didn't know they were that much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not all of them, right? But like mine has, it's essentially everything but the touring. So it has, you know, crew, adaptive crews, all that kind of stuff before they put it standard. Now that's all come standard in the Outback and everything like that, with like lane keep and all that kind of stuff. But in a 2016, sadly, you had to pay for all those extra features, which, and it's also like packaged too. There's like the winter package, I think, all that kind of stuff where I had the mask. There's, you know, all that kind of stuff where it came off the lot already a little bit higher than price point.
Yeah.
So then they can resell it for higher than, you know, and I also live in Washington too. So that's a little bit, you know, Subarus go like crazy up here. And they know there's the market for it. So unfortunately, you know, unlike I think in Texas, they have a really good, they got some really good prices down there.
Yeah.
Unlike other places.
I imagine so. And we do not need winter packages down here. So, and you know, it's funny now, now that I own a Subaru and I own a Crosstrek, I drive, you know, I'm driving around and I follow all these people with all these awesome mods and decals and everything. And most of the Subarus here are just plain, you know, there's nothing added to them. I do see a few with racks on them, you know, roof racks, but that's pretty much about it. So I like, you know, being able to put decals on mine because that's kind of my affordability right now is just the decal. So it helps me to personalize it. I did put some roof rails and I eventually want to put a roof rack on, but you know, I'm doing what I can when I can.
Of course. Yeah. No, that's totally understandable. It all comes with, you know, the paychecks and when you have the time.
Yeah.
And also knowing what you want too. You know, people talk about copying builds and stuff like that. And it's definitely hard when there's like certain companies that make certain things for, you know, all of the cars that we have. It's kind of like, it's either custom or it's going to look like someone else's car too. Cause Subarus are sold so highly in the US, that you, it's hard to find like a mod that someone hasn't already done that you also like, cause it's definitely a market.
Where did you come up with the name Ninja Outback? Because I like that name. That's cool.
Yeah. You know, honestly, it's kind of like one of those things that just came to me. Like, I wasn't necessarily looking for a black car. I kind of just stumbled upon it. And I always like to name things when I see them. And the way that I just was seeing this future was like stealthy. It's going to look sick. It's going to be all black. It's going to be murdered. All that kind of stuff that I was like, okay, you know, Ninja seems like a stealthy name. Seems like something that just like come out and be like whoosh and you wouldn't even know it's there. And so that's really kind of, there's no connection to it.
Just kind of
usually, came, I, yeah. You know, sometimes I do like, yeah, it just kind of came to me when I saw it. I was like, I mean, I was calling it Lil Sue, because like, you know, Sue the Baru. And I was like, nah, we can't go with something that seems like too, like other people might have it. And, you know, and I hadn't gotten into the car community yet, but I was like, I think Ninja sounds good. And that's like, I started making people call it that.
making them say,
I was like, my car's name is Ninja. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're going to get in my car, you need to call Ninja her name. you know, we got to love the boxer in her.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So before you owned your Outback, did you ever imagine that you would own a car that you would love so much and would want to add modifications to and then like have an Instagram page for? Cause I know for me, I would have never thought that I would have an Instagram page for a car. And, you know, it does sound kind of silly, but I really don't care.
Yeah. You know, it was like a yes and no. Like on my Honda, I hated the wheels. I was like, Mom, I'm gonna start buying new wheels for this car. It's gonna be it, you know. I can't do this. It's too ugly for me. And luckily I knocked some sense into my brain somehow, and decided not to do that. Because I was like, I think hopefully I'm gonna get rid of this Honda in a year and like it's not worth putting like $800 into, you know, a set of wheels. That just look cool for, driving around a Prius looking car, frankly, it's like, you know, cool Prius said nobody ever. That kind of thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to put those kind of modifications in there just to have something for a short period of time. It's just, that's definitely not worth the money.
No, exactly. And the market for a tricked out Honda Insight was probably very small. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be able to resell that for very good money. I would lose it. And honestly, I'd probably have to turn it back to stock instead. So I decided not there. But that got me thinking that when I bought my new car, whatever it was going to be, I was going to trick it out. And so when I got the Subaru, you know, I was like, man, this is so sick. I really love the chrome. And then I started being like, I don't really like the chrome, you know, and I started looking up on Instagram, on my personal page before I had made an Instagram, what was out there, you know, and Pinterest too. Pinterest is a big place for Subaru, the community that they loved it. And so I, you know, I just started looking there. And so with the Instagram thing, I had never thought I would fall in love with the car so much that I would, first of all, name it something that I make everyone call it, you know, when they're about to get in, let alone this whole page for it, where I have a community that I can talk to, and just the amazing support that is in the Subaru community. I would have never thought that would be me. I thought it was honestly silly, but I think that's what people think from the outside. Right. Cause they're not a part of it. They don't understand the like vibes that we have and like just talking, with people that are like, you know, what wheels are you getting? You know, what methods, what are you going to, you know, what do you run? 18, 17, 16, 15, you know, whatever it may be. And just the knowledge that people share, I think is really cool. And that comes from Instagram where you can connect with people. But no, I never thought I would have one. And here we are.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just the community out there is pretty amazing. And it's nice to see that, you know, there's so many people that have all these modifications. And like I said, I, you know, now I don't really see that many around here, especially, but I never really, I didn't know there was such a huge Subaru community out there until I bought my car. And, you know, I started following some people. Before I bought my car, because I had already gotten approved by my bank for a loan. So I knew that I was going to get the car. It was just a matter of when and which one. I knew that I wanted a manual and a base model. When I knew that was going to happen, I started looking up Instagram accounts and some YouTube videos on just, you know, off-roading and everything. And I wasn't really looking at mods so much. Until I started seeing some YouTube videos and like people going through their mods, and I was like, oh, I guess that's kind of a thing, you know, but I thought that was just kind of like a rarity, like maybe just a few people had some mods, you know, roof racks and all this kind of stuff, lift kits, you know, cut bumpers, until I started connecting with lots and lots of people. I was like, whoa, this is like a thing. It's not just a few people doing this. This is like so many people out there are doing this, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, I guess I agree with you on that part. Definitely. I did, you know, it wasn't until I got the car that I really started looking into what I could do. Like, I knew I wanted, obviously, the wheels and tires, like from my Honda, I was like, I want wheels. And so, you know, one of the mods that I knew I wanted to do was wheels, but I hadn't looked up, you know, any type of, I hadn't done any research on it. I had no clue. And so that's like you said, like when you started looking out, that's when you started seeing more, but I didn't think that it would be so major, in the community. And then obviously I found that now there's a huge community and I see them all over the place now. And I'm like, hey, that's such a cool car. But before, you know, I wasn't like, oh yeah. There's a community out there for heavily modded Subarus. Cause I had seen it with, you know, Toyotas, Tacomas, all those types of cars, but never when I was driving around being like spotting the Subarus. And now I do. Now I spot all the Subarus that are kitted.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of trucks around here that are modded out, you know, Tacomas, like you said, and like GMCs and Chevys and stuff. So it's mostly trucks that I see, but you don't really see many Subarus around here. I mean, I was at the grocery store tonight and I saw an orange Crosstrek that was literally parked right behind me, kind of across the aisle, and it was at least a 2018 model, and it had a roof rack, but that was it. So, it would be cool to see more around here, but I don't know, maybe I'll inspire some people around here. I know there are people in the Houston area that I've connected with that, have some of, you know, some mods on their cars. I just haven't met them in person yet. So they do exist. I guess I just don't see them out here where I'm at in the suburbs.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, it is definitely, I think, you know, some of the big places where cars with Subarus are heavily modded are like California, Colorado, Washington, Arizona. Some of those places, I think those are, you know, the top. I don't normally think of Texas as a big place for like, oh, there's a huge mod. And then the East Coast, right? Like Midwest, or excuse me, there's a Mountain Rue community out there. Yeah. On the East Coast, and I'm like, you know, Pennsylvania, those kind of things. That's where I see a ton of heavily modded, but I don't think of the kind of middle section of the United States being a place where you would go and like see heavily modded Subarus.
Yeah. So speaking of mods, what was the first mod or addition that you did with your car, and what has been your favorite so far?
Yeah. So, well, you know, addition, I would say the first addition I ever did was I added a hitch to it. That's a huge thing. But the real mod that I did was I added a 2-inch lift, which definitely is backwards from what people normally say to do. You know, it's wheels and tires usually first if you're looking to go off-roading. But I was just like, hey, my birthday's coming up. I would like to lift my car, and I'm going to lift my car. So that's what's going to happen. And so that was the first lift, but the hitch is what I bought, what I added to it, to make it my own, if you could say that, because it didn't come with hitch for some reason, which is like a must, I feel like, just for anything, bikes, tire carrier, if you were to tow, although, you know, I don't have anything to tow, not yet, at least. I think probably my favorite mod, I don't know, there's a lot. That's like a hard thing to say, but I do love my Wilco off-road swing out tire carrier.
Nice.
It has been a life changer. Shout out to @wandering_turbo, I think is what it is. He hooked me up with a great deal before he went over to van life. He had a really heavily modded Forester, but he was selling it in the Seattle area, and so I was like, yeah, hey, I had bigger tires, I need to have a full size spare, like I can't get caught off-roading, you know, with no full size spare. Like I would not want to roll home on a donut, as most places around here are a couple hours from me where we go, you know, to play in the mountains and stuff like that. So, and it has the a little front runner drop down table on the inside too when you swing it out. So perfect for camping. And then it also has Rotopax carriers on the side. So I have a water can and I also have a gas can. So it's kind of just like a survival kit right there. You know, if I'm ever stuck out anywhere, those are always loaded.
Now, this may be a silly question. The gas can is obvious, but the water can is, do you use that like for drinking? Do you use it for cooking or cleaning? I mean, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you can definitely use it for either. I personally use it for cooking and cleaning stuff, like dishes if I'm not near water and stuff like that, because obviously sometimes you don't want to do that. You just rather, use some water from like your hose or something like that. Luckily up here in Washington, we have good drinking water. But usually I will buy some type of distilled water or something like that to put as our drinking and eating water, and just use it for cleaning and stuff like that when need be. So not a silly question, no silly questions.
Okay.
You know.
So how long was it before you got your new wheels and tires after you got your lift?
Oh, I was running around looking like a, you know, like when you see the lifted car, but then you have like the tiny wheels. You know, probably like, it was probably about a good month or so that I was still running on stock. It wasn't too bad. I just knew when I brought my car home after getting a lift, I was like, nope, wheels and tires are going a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Because I cannot stand the wheel gap in the well. It just looks too funny to me. So, it didn't take me long. I think that was probably my next paycheck. I was like, they're going on, here they go. Yeah, I was kind of lucky. I did it backwards, but I did it pretty quick.
That's good. Yeah.
So in my world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not too long to be running around on them. So it's not bad. Were there any mods that you, or any additions or anything that you added? And then you were like, I don't know if I really like that so much, and then took it off.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say taking it off. Are you familiar with the Velcro pouch type, pouches, right? Being the footwells, in the front and front of your car for the driver and passenger?
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I can just try to explain it as best as I can, but essentially it's like, a small cargo net that usually comes Velcroed, from Amazon. You can just buy them on Amazon. And I've seen many people do this. And the carpeting on the side of your car will act on the, if you have that in the footwell, it'll stick to it. And then you can use that as like a water bottle holder. Cause my Hydro Flask is too big to fit in the cup holders. And I didn't want to get a thing cause it's just too much by my arm. Or I keep my walkie talkies in there, and stuff like that. But I don't know what is wrong. It will not stay. It just will not hold on to itself. We've tried so much Velcro on the hard plastic and then Velcroing that to it. And it just rips right off. And so it's kind of one of those where now it's just Velcroed on one place and it hangs down. So the purpose is really defeated of it. And I've just given up because I've tried industrial strength. I've tried it on hot days. I've tried it on cold days. I've tried it on, you know, where the car isn't either one way or the other in a climate. And for whatever reason, it just does not want to stick, even to the hard plastic. And so I'm just trying to, that's one of those mods where I'm like, okay, I didn't spend too much, luckily, but we're not going to try this anymore. It'll just stay like that. And that can be it. Cause it's gotten so annoying to try to mess with, or when you hear it fall off, like you hear that go, and then it's on the floor and I'm like, oh, there goes all my effort from this morning. Like, you know, so yeah, that's definitely one of those where I was like, other people did it and it looked really cool, but you know, for some reason it's not working for me. So we'll just pass on that one.
With all the mods that you did on your car, how did you go about deciding, I guess, like which brands that you wanted to use? Because I know, you know, with like crossbars, there's different brands. With lift kits, there's different brands. Wheels and tires, you know, rooftop baskets. I mean, there's so many different options. So like, how did you go about making your decision? And like, where did you, I guess, do some research to find out which ones you wanted?
There are a ton of brands out there. You know, obviously there's some bigger brands and obviously there's some smaller brands that are, you know, local. Essentially what I did for, well, first of all, I still have my stock crossbars. So Outbacks come with the disappearing crossbars or however you want to say it. So they actually go into the side rails, and they don't have to be used, which is kind of cool, but also the weight on them. And what they say is like, I've been told people won't sell me a rooftop tent, because they're afraid that my crossbars will essentially, it only goes in by a latch and that latch, you pull it up and it comes out of place. And they're saying if the weight's on it, it can easily just do that on accident and rip it out. So that's kind of one of the downsides of the stock crossbars on the Outback. They're like, I think they're the only car that does not have bolted in plastic rails to the actual vehicle, like the rooftop, like Crosstrek or, you know, Ascends or Foresters. Like, it's the only one. So that kind of stinks. So I've been looking at it, but I know Thule makes some good ones, and it's all just based off of what I hear other people's experiences are. I think the biggest one that was different for me, after doing a ton of research, was on lift kits, because obviously there's huge price ranges within those. But it's all about like safety and all that kind of stuff. And so I got definitely lost in that of like researching night on night, you know, on Subaru Outback Club, you know, Subaru just of America, just like, off-road Subarus, all that kind of stuff, where I just got so, it was just a cycle of, you know, the same brands being brought up, the same, reasons why. And so I essentially just went to the shop that was going to install the lift, because at the time I didn't have many friends that could do it, nor was I feeling that I was sound enough as a DIY mechanic to be able to do all that kind of stuff. And so they said to go with the Ready Lift 2-inch lift kit. And so that's what I went with. But really just, you know, wheels and tires are the same thing. Hearing from other people what their experience was. I think my biggest regret on the wheels and tires was I didn't go to 17s. Because mine is a limited, it comes with 18-inch wheels, which for off-roading is not as good because you don't have as beefy of a tire because of the spring perch. But, you know, I can regret all I want, but I'll just run my Falcon Wild Peaks into the ground until they're done and then get a new setup if I want.
Yeah, that's definitely something for me that, like, I, you know, when it comes to getting a lift kit at some point, and, you know, the wheels and tires seems a little bit easier. You know, I know that there's certain sizes that you don't want to go over because you can run into, you know, them rubbing and then having to, you know, cut some of the fender out. I've heard about that. So, but, like, I guess what... Now that you've kind of gone through this and everything, especially since you had a mechanic tell you which ones to get, you know, and before you really started your Instagram connections and everything, what if somebody's looking at really any kind of mod, what kind of advice would you give them who's like, let's say, just bought, you know, a car and they're wanting to start, you know, doing some mods?
You know, I think the first thing I would look at is, what is your budget? Because I think that plays into a lot of it. I have friends that have just bought lights on Amazon for like really cheap, but they're just as bright as, you know, some of the other companies that are sell theirs for $300. Now, of course, there comes with quality, but that's not to say that the Amazon ones don't have quality. It just depends how long you want it to last, because that plays into it. Like, obviously, I may look at upgrading things later, but it's kind of like a learn as you go, because you don't know what you need until you actually done the thing that you're looking for, right? Like, not everyone needs a 2-inch lift. People just like the way it looks. And like, that's totally fine. I actually just was getting a lift because I liked the way that it looked. I was like, yeah, I want that, right? But then as I started getting out on more trails, I was like, this is a good thing I have a 2-inch lift. I just made that river crossing because I have a 2-inch lift, that kind of thing. Like, you don't know what you need until you run into the situation where you're like, man, I actually really need that, right? Like, some people go out and rock trails on stock, just completely stock.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's doable. Like, you can do it. right? But there's obviously things that you're like, man, that's definitely an upgrade that's needed. So I think it's really just figuring out what your budget is. And then you don't have to go with what everyone else goes with. Of course, it's nice to have feedback of like who is running it, like a lift or wheels or tires that work for them. But everyone's different. Like, we're all from different places. We all do different things. I drive an hour and a half each weekend pretty much to come down and see my mom for the weekends, right? So it's like I'm doing city driving, highway driving a lot of the time if I'm not in the outback doing, you know, off-road trails. Whereas some people are always on trails and, you know, they want beefier tires. So it's really about what you do, what your lifestyle is, what your budget can afford. Because granted, $1,000 could get you lights and tires, or $1,000 could get you wheels. Like, it really depends, you know, what you want your money and how far you can stretch that within your budget.
That's a really good point. And also, you know, depending on your environment, like for me, I live in Houston, there's not really any need for me to get a lift or get bigger tires right now. And there are some parks, some off-road parks out west in San Antonio and Austin area, and there's one up in Dallas. And so I know for me, I can navigate those trails and everything because there's different difficulty levels. But I think a really good mod for me that I'm going to do as soon as I can is a skid plate, because I know that's definitely going to be good for going over the trails. So that makes more sense for me to get like a skid plate than it does to get a lift right now.
Right. And I was, like I said, I did things backwards. I think I did lift, wheels, tires, skids. And like people would say, get tires and wheels first, or is skids. Some people say skids, depending on how rocky their terrain is. Or if they're like, you're driving on the beach, yeah, you might want this. Or, oh, it snows a lot where you are. Oh, you know, you might want this. It's like, definitely do what your lifestyle is, because obviously everyone's builds are different, but are you truly going to be overlanding in it? Maybe not. Maybe you work like a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday and you don't get the time to get out for long trips. Like, maybe it's a weekend trip, but do you need a whole, you know, roof rack set up like you're going to go hunt zombies? Maybe not. Right. But it's like, but if you also like that, that's totally fine. Like, you can do that. There's no harm in that, but just like understanding where you see your car going, I think helps. I know we all get impatient, I think, sometimes, right? Like, people see like the new wheels and tires and they're like, I gotta have that. And then they go get that. And then they haven't really done the background research of like, you know, what's the weight on those? Because Subaru engines aren't exactly the most powerful, right? There's obviously turbos and stuff, but obviously they just came out with a Crosstrek that has a little bit of a bigger engine to pull more horsepower. But for the most part, it's like when you weigh your car all down with stuff, expect the gas mileage hit, expect your car to maybe not perform as what Subaru thought it doing from the get-go. But if like that's what you want to do, then do that, right? Like, it doesn't have to look the same as everyone else's. I just think the biggest thing is, where do you see it going? Because it's your car in the end. And whether people like your mods or not, you're driving it and you're the one who's going to love it. So those are the main things. You don't have to be mainstream.
When you started getting or connecting with people on Instagram, did you come across any accounts or cars that kind of started influencing some of the mods that you did? Like, you know, we talked earlier about seeing what other people are doing and, you know, not necessarily, I mean, it's not really copying. It's just like seeing something going, oh, I really would like to have that. You know, it's, I mean, you're not going to make your build look exactly like theirs, but, you know, if they have something that makes sense for you, you know, maybe either some individual mods or like an overall package, were there any that influenced yours?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the biggest ones, and one of the reasons why was Adventure Dad Wagon, like one of the OG Outbacks.
Yeah.
Because you don't see, you know what I mean? Like you don't see a lot of Outbacks that are heavily modded because of the wheelbase size. Like if you're really trying to go off road, an Outback's wheelbase will get you just beached like a whale. You know, if you go up and over and you come down and your wheel doesn't hit that other side, it's a bit harder. And so when I really saw his build, I was like, man, that's really cool. Like it can be done. You know, maybe there's not many people out there, but it certainly can. And I think at the time I was looking at getting massive roof bars for it. And I think he has like 70 inches on top, which now to me, I'm like, that's scary. Like that is wide. I could not do that. You know, I won't do that for now. But like his was one that was definitely like, man, you know, it can be done. That's cool. Another one was an edit that I saw on Instagram of Shadow Rue, who just moved, I believe.
Yeah,
he did. Used to live in Texas. And so his was like, I was like, man, that's a really cool car. That's also an Outback. That's something that I would like. And I think the biggest thing was his Laminex overlays on his fog lights, the amber, and then a tow hook, which I've done neither of ever since I saw that. I have not bought, I've not gotten a tow hook, and I've also not gotten amber overlays, but I did think his car was super cool. Another one that was, you know, I started looking local because I'm like, there has to be more out here. The bright orange Crosstrek, Sir Charles Subi. She runs up here. I thought her car, I mean, you know, I started joining a lot of Facebook groups in the area for Subis. So, you know, there's a couple groups out here. You know, I would see her post and I'd be like, wow, that is a cool car. Like it's got a pop of color. She's rocking some nice wheels and tires. You know, she's got banners all over her rooftop basket is really sick. All that kind of stuff. And so she was probably one of those as well that I was like, okay, you know, mine's not a Crosstrek, but that looks beefy and it looks cool. And I want that or something like that, you know? And I think those were mainly the couple of people that I really saw that stood out to me when I was first looking around. And I think it's cool because I've actually talked to all of them before, and we talk cars, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, I saw Shadow Rue. I connected with him before he moved because I know he was doing some trails out in Austin, I think, in San Antonio, maybe. And then I saw that he was moving back to Colorado Springs. So yeah, I like his car a lot. But so I've got a two-part question for you. So if you could go anywhere, like if you've seen some trails or something that you're like, oh man, I would love to go there. You know, where would that be? And then the second part of the question is, where have you been so far that's been your favorite?
Yeah, send me to California. That's where I'd love to go. All those trails that those guys and gals are running down there look so sick. You know, it recently just snowed out there, down there. And I was like, man, their trails still look so cool. Have a ton of mud puddles, you know, all those types of things. And even in the dry, you know, the desert, when they're blasting through the dust and stuff, it just looks so sick. Up here, I do a lot of forest logging roads. I don't go to a lot of OHV parks or ORV parks because a lot of them around here are built for 4x4s and Jeeps, where you will get stuck on the obstacles that they have. In a car like mine, just because of how short those Jeeps are, squeezing by some of those things, you would definitely get a dent. And I'm not too big into like the dent scene of like beating the car. I like to baby it. So it kind of makes it tough when I'm like looking at like, where can I go? That, you know, I can expect trail scratches, of course. But one that I'm just like, no, I can't, I can't do that. That's putting it through too much. Of course, you never want to hear someone saying that as a Subi owner, but around here, if you have a newer Subaru that you don't want to beat or have cut bumpers for, a lot of the ORV parks are not for you, which kind of stings. So yeah, send me to California. I haven't gotten out of state much since I got the car, as much as I wanted to. Just working the jobs that I do. And then also when COVID hit, I was still actually working from home. So there was never actually a time where I was given off, because it was kind of a wishy-washy situation where I was like, you might be coming back in, but you might not. I actually work childcare. So it was kind of like if that makes sense for some of the listeners, it was kind of like, yes, you're coming back. No, you're not. We're opening a childcare center for school support. No, we're not. Kind of thing where, it got a little bit, I was just like, okay, am I ever going to get to go? Probably not. And then, the full lockdown started happening in Washington State, and, Parks and Rec closed down. And you couldn't go there even if you wanted to. So it was kind of like a bad time for me. But I do love to take my car to Mount Rainier. Being so close to so many mountains, it's definitely an awesome feeling when you can just drive, an hour or two, out and just find trees and be in the mountains in more quiet. I think that's where I find a lot of peace, being out there, just driving around and camping out of the back of it by the river. Just being in my own space. But yeah, some of the mountains around here, Baker, Rainier, definitely best places I've taken it so far.
Yeah. Have you done any giveaways, when you've reached certain milestones? And if so, how do people go about doing that? Because I mean, you're obviously posting that you're doing a giveaway for like certain products or whatever. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, do you partner with one of these brands or something, or is it just something that you have where you're like, oh, I have this stuff, I'm going to give it away? So I'm curious about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done two. I've done one at a 500 follower giveaway and then also a 1K giveaway. So 1,000 followers. I had the same question too that you did. Because it can be sometimes daunting. Like, you see all these people who have a ton of followers, massive followings, have a team build list, right? Which is so awesome. But then you look at yourself and you're like, man, okay, I'm kind of small. Like, how do I even start? Like, will people even want it? And so essentially for the 500 follower, I reached out to some companies, got a lot of no's. But I had one company who was willing to give away a product from them, which was a lighting company for LED fog lights. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of cool, because that was like the first time that someone had said yes as a small account. Like, I maybe had like 450 followers at the time. I was just like, hey, I'm trying to get ahead of this. Like, would you want to be a part of, a 500 follower giveaway for my Instagram page? And so when they said yes, I was like, okay, yep, that's pretty cool. But then other than that, I had to, whatever else I wanted to give away on top of it, no companies had said yes. So I just purchased what I thought would be like a wanted product. And a lot of that comes with recovery gear, walkie talkies or, radios, camp setups, stuff like that. And so I actually bought a pair of X-Bowl traction recovery boards. And it was pretty well received. And then growing on to my 1,000 followers, I was a little bit bigger. So, more companies were actually willing, when I reached out, to say like, yeah, we'll send you something, like, no problem. And I also had won a couple giveaways too. So I was like, hey, I'm about to have my giveaway. Would you want to be like, are you potentially interested in like giving something away for that too? Which helped me, give stuff away, because obviously you want to give back to the community, but sometimes money is like, you can't just go and out and buy all the things you want to give away because it's expensive. So yeah, it was really just like asking, you know, it's, I mean, stuff that Midland gives away, Midland USA, the walkie talkie company or radio company. I mean, when they said yes to get helping me out, which is awesome. So shout out to them. But like, you know, you can't always buy all the stuff you want to give away. You have to get some help somehow if people are willing, and they're pretty supportive. So it usually works out in your favor, but just asking around, to companies, and hopefully they look at your page. Sometimes they don't. I got, like I said, I got a ton of no's, or a ton of no answers being like, you know, hey, this is Ninja. I'm trying to set up a giveaway for my followers. Would you like to partake? And it'd be like, no answer. And so, yeah. And also just reaching out to local companies. I reached out to Jen. She helped me out with my giveaway too.
I read on your Instagram page, where it says founder and school bus of Rugged Roo Crew. So tell us more about that, 'cause that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. So I started my car Instagram May 2020, right when COVID was really at its, well, was at its peak in Washington State. I was joking with some family members. I was like, I'm really going to do it. And they're like, okay, go ahead and do it. I was like, yep, this is going to be my hobby. You guys have picked up knitting. I'm going to pick up this. And so I decided to reach out to some friends that I knew of. At this time, I think my account probably had like maybe 300 followers on it. And I was like, hey, you're in Washington. What do you think about just coming up with a group of people that can go riding, but it's not like hardcore off-roading, but it's also not like not drag racing, but just like street cruising. It's an in-between market, and a lot of them loved it. And so I was like, cool, we're gonna come up with a name for the group, and this is going to be it. And so we did, and that is where Rugged Roo Crew has been founded. Is rugged is supposed to be like uneven, kind of sounds like, you know, like a little bit mean, like type. And then Roo, obviously short for Subaru. And then Crew, it was just like Roo Crew sounded cool. You know, and it's not like squad or something like that. We were just like Crew. And so, you're a crew member. And the school bus came after I'd hit some trails with a couple people. And my car is very long. I think it's like, well, I don't even know. It's just crazy long. And it was, you know, with the wheel carrier on the back, I add like a foot and a half. It's crazy how much, you know, gets put on the back there. And so then essentially when people would be behind me, they'd be like, Dorothy, I am scared. Your car is rocking like nobody's business. You know, just hitting a little pothole, I'd be like, woof. And then we go back and forth. And so it was like, what's really long and what's really fun? Because on the radio, I'm always talking, always saying something, making jokes about being the magic school bus. And they're like, you know what? School bus sounds like a good name for you. You're going to be the school bus. And I was like, okay, I deal with kids all the time. I will be the school bus. And so that's kind of where that name came from, was making jokes about me. And you always just got to go along with them. So that's kind of the funniness behind that.
So how many members are in the Rugged Roo Crew? And I saw that you have, so you do some merchandise and stuff for the organization also?
Yeah. So this was kind of like a cool chance for me to kind of live like my own dream of being my own boss. We do have merchandise, for the crew, but this only happened really after we realized that it was going to launch into something more than just a couple of friends going out, to ride. So we do have an Instagram page at @RuggedRoo_crew. And that has about 625 followers, I think now, which is insane. Like the amount of support that we have gained in the last couple months is ridiculous. It's so awesome to see. And then we do have a Facebook page, Rugged Roo Crew, that has about 77 members, who are more PNW or Pacific Northwest, oriented, as we really wanted to start this group off with being able to go riding. So instead of spanning it stateswide, where people might feel left out if like they never have a meet in their state that they can go to. We really felt that it was important to keep it local for now so that people can actually attend when we can meet and all that kind of stuff. So like I said, like you said, we do have merchandise, and that really became apparent to me as we started to grow, that it was something that people felt was a community they wanted to be a part of. It's being a crew member. It's seeing the faces that you can talk cars to all day, every day, whenever you want. And so I started a business. I applied for a business license in the state of Washington, so that when the time comes, we can really start hosting events, with hopefully other companies, and just growing bigger and bigger, because this is a community, and I was so happy to be a part of that, that it's not about selling merchandise or anything. It's about making people feel like they're welcome. And if they want a sticker, yeah, they can throw it on their car so that people ask, you know, hey, what's Rugged Roo Crew? I don't know. But, you know, if they want to represent, they can, which I think is one of the best things I've done, is bringing people together.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I mean, this whole owning a Subaru is just, it's, there's so much about it is about community, and doing something like that to bring people together is just so cool. And it's awesome that you did that. And, you know, that it took a big following, and people are interested in it and, you know, wanting to be a part of it. You know, I think that's really great that you can do that up there in your area. But what kind of merchandise do you have so far with the group?
Yeah, so we have some big things coming. Currently, I have beanies, as it is the winter season where we are. So it's pretty cold and not too nice all the time, as Washington just rains. We have multiple decals or stickers, if you want to call them, vinyl transfer ones. Ones that are of Washington State and then have Wah Roo Crew inside of them, the words written. We have model specific ones that have Rugged Roo Crew on the outside of them, which can go on your windows. And then we have a big rear 9x9 like window decal of the other logo that we have. We kind of have two that we use, which is like a fighting kangaroo with like some dirty treads going over it, and it's shaped like a tire so that people know that we're a car community.
That's cool.
It's pretty sick. And then I will be ordering some sweatshirts as soon as I can, because who doesn't love a good comfy sweatshirt? You can wear it around anywhere. So I'm looking to put that order in, but yeah, that's about it. We're kind of staying small. Because obviously, like I said, it's not about the merchandise for me. If people want to rep, that's awesome. But it's more about just the community and saying that you're a part of it.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoy talking to you. And you've given a lot of really good information that has helped me. And I know other people too, especially somebody that may be new to the Subaru community and, you know, looking at considering doing some mods and stuff. But so what is, I guess, your favorite part of owning a Subaru? And then is there anything else that you want to like leave people with?
My favorite part is the way that I can make it look and still be really slow.
Yeah.
I am, you know, people always say like, they make the jokes about the cops pulling them over saying, who was speeding? Because it certainly wasn't me. Right. I love that I can make my car look a certain way, but still have it be functional. I, you know, all of the things that I've done are for my lifestyle and how I really like to use my car. And so I think that's the best part about it, is it feels personal to me. It's not just another car that you name and then say, okay, yeah, that's my car right out there. It's a car that I look at all the time. My friends get so mad at me. I'm always like, look, oh my gosh, my car, she looks so good, doesn't she? You know, and they say, yeah. You know, I have thousands of pictures on my phone of my car. No more people, no more selfies, no more nothing, no more anything but my car is not found.
That's
on
funny.
my phone. It's always my car. And so, you know, I think the biggest thing is get out and talk to people that are in the community, because there's a huge community out there. Like, yes, you may try to give the Subi wave to every Outback you see, and it may just be like another elderly person who has no clue. But you could also find some people who are really into their cars. And I think that's the biggest thing that I found, was I started reaching out to people who are outside of the state. And I was like, yeah, you know, when I come down, I will hit you up. I'll let you know when I'm down there so we can go hang. And I never would have thought in a million years I would say that I have friends all over the United States, or in the world for that matter, that love cars as much as I do and support people the way that we do. I think it's one of the best communities to be a part of. And I really can't say anything better than that. I think it's really helped me feel like I'm not so crazy, first of all, because of how much I love my car. I know that there are people out there that also love their cars just as much as I do, which is great, because then we can talk cars all the time. And so, yeah, I think I just hope that I can leave community and really build something that means something to other people and not just me, like sending on the passion that I have for it. Because if anyone can ever come out to a meet sometime, I will be the first person to say welcome. And that's all I want. I want you to feel like your car is cool enough to come out. And I want to just get to know you, because I think that's what really helped me when I first entered this community, which is great.
Yeah, it's actually on January 15th, it'll only be 4 months since I've owned my car. And the amount of people that I've connected with, and just the support, you know, the whole, that I really like what you said, like not thinking that your car is cool enough, because like my car is definitely really close to stock. I just have some, you know, decals on it and then the crossbars, but I love my car the way it is. I obviously want to do more stuff to it when I can. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing how you get into this community and this lifestyle, and before you just had absolutely no idea that it existed. And it's so cool to be here and be a part of this. And now, you know, I wanted to start a podcast because of that. And I wanted people like you and Jen, you know, because she has a small business, you have the Rugged Roo Crew, and you just want to reach out to people and help people and help them get excited about this community.
I think this community, like you said, is one like no other, and one that it honestly feels like a different world. Because I think sometimes, you know, people don't necessarily know that people can come from all over the place and still have that one thing in common. And I think it's crazy that it's cars, right? Like, you wouldn't think like, oh, your car is going to bring you close to someone, but it has probably brought me some of my closest friends from 2020 and going into 2021. Like, I've spent multiple weekends with the same friends, right? That I was like, I would have never known you if I hadn't made a car Instagram, nor had you made a car Instagram and wanted to reach out. And I think that's the craziest thing, is people say that every day. They're like, thank you for inviting me to this group. I was like, thank you for being willing, right? Because it takes multiple people to build community. And that's what I'm all about. I just want to make, you know, I say when people say, you know, I'm only stock, like, am I going to be fine? I'm like, stock is just fine.
Yeah.
Everyone moves at their own pace. Some people don't even want to change it. And that's fine. You don't have to change it. Just know that you might want to skid plate here and then.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast. And, you know, thank you for your excitement and for sharing. And, you know, and listening to the first one, I just, the overwhelming support and comments and everything from, you know, the first episode, which I did not expect, was just like incredible. I mean, I had people sharing it that I didn't, you know, I didn't even connect with yet or something, or, you know, you have so many people that you don't get a chance to see all of their accounts, you know, all the time. And I kept getting all these shares and I just thought that was so awesome. So yeah, just thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, no, I mean, thank you for having me on, because I think it's an awesome opportunity to share my love and my passion for Subaru and hopefully allow others to come out of their shell. Always say hi to me, you know, at Ninja Outback on Instagram, at Rugged Roo Crew. We always are looking for more friends. So I really appreciate this time that you've given me to allow me to share everything that I've learned so far.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. And I hope you have a good night, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yes, I will try to have a good night. I know it's late there, so go to bed if you need to, and I'll try to have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
There you have it, Subaru community, another episode down. If you enjoyed this episode and the one before, and you enjoy the concept of this podcast, and you want to hear some of your friends on here, let the rest of the community know about it. So share, subscribe, whichever platform you listen to. And if they have the option to rate and review, please also do that so that people can know what you think about the podcast and get interested in it also. So go follow Ninja Outback on Instagram. And if you are in the Pacific Northwest, where the Rugged Roo Crew is, give her a holler. And, you know, if you're interested in joining that group, then let her know. So you can find that on RuggedRoo_crew on Instagram. And then you can also find them on Facebook. As with the first episode, so many people sent me DMs just letting me know that they like the podcast. And so keep doing that. You know, you can always reach out to me and I'll get back to them as soon as I can. I really, really appreciate all of the feedback. It really means a lot. And it really lets me know that doing this project was a good idea. So thank you all so much for that. It really, really means a lot. And we will see you on the next episode. I want to give a shout out to Claire Carreras for providing the intro and outro music. Also, check out her business, her website, White Rhino Bags. You can also find White Rhino Bags on Instagram.